house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Fall to the ground. Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
Okay, thank you, Auntie. So here we have a very well-known passage of where God calls out to Samuel, the young Samuel. And today's sermon title is God Speaks, all right? And I think this is one subject that we often have come across, and many of us have given thought about it. You know, for someone to say God speaks to me is something that is not so easily accepted in some circles. And for some people, it is something that is happens in life, okay? And for some people, perhaps, you know, the ability to listen to God belongs to a selected few, okay? Well, that is not true. God speaks to all of us. And God speaks to us in different ways. And he speaks to us in ways that are familiar to each one of us, okay? He understands our character and he crafts his message accordingly. But one important thing that we cannot turn away from is we need to learn how to listen to God. And the only way we can do that is to meditate on God's word regularly. Okay. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the stories and what we have worked through previously to try to understand how God speaks, you know, in Samuel's prophetic call, and how some people could listen to it, to God's word effectively, while some people could not hear. Okay. So the background of this story is that, you know, God has appointed the family of Eli to be priests over the people. But the sad fact that Eli's sons were very corrupt and they desecrated the worship life of Israel. They took advantage of the people coming before them to worship. And their evil deeds were known to all Israel. And Eli did not do anything to stop them. Okay, he did not address the situation. He spoke to them, but he left them. Let them continue in that evil. Okay, and this chapter starts with that with the words, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions." Okay, and as you look at the notes, the word of God was rare because the people appointed to speak the word of God were corrupt and godless. There is no one who seeks the Lord and would represent his interests. You know, what happens to us when the revelation of God's word is rare, and what does it tell us about our spiritual climate? Okay, and I think this is something very important to for us to think about, you know, simply because I think we all must agree that, you know, in our everyday lives, you know, whether it comes to what's happening at home or what's happening in the church, you know, what's happening in our workplace, you know, it is important for us to hear from God, to allow God to guide us in the things, in the small things and the bigger things, and point out that, you know, which way we should go. Okay, and it is important that, you know, that there must be a church, a people who seeks God and represents God in the right fashion, in order for us to be able to listen to God. And here in this story, you know, the leadership itself didn't care, and therefore the word was not going out to the people, all right? And there's a second set of questions, you know. As for Eli, he only discerned what God, you know, after God went to Samuel twice, then only he was able to hear, to discern that God was speaking. And you can see that Eli, as perceptive as he is, right, you know, but he took it some time, you know, after Samuel came and woke him up twice, then he realized, you know, there was something more happening here. Okay. So the other sets of questions is, does God speak to you? Would you recognize the voice of the Lord? And what would help you discern God's voice? Okay, so let's keep that questions in mind as we move through this text. So the first thing, let's look at Eli himself. Okay, in the text, there are three occasions where Eli was told about his son's wicked deeds. Okay, and we've seen this previously. First of all, the people complained to Eli. Okay, all of Israel, you know, everyone coming to worship was very dissatisfied, you know, and by the abuse, and they would complain to Eli. And then God sent a prophet, okay, who warned Eli. And then finally, Samuel receives a word from God concerning the coming judgment. Now, the thing is, did Eli listen to God? What was his response? You know, even after a prophet calls out Eli's apparent lack of response and pointed out his complicity in their sins, Eli did not repent or confront his sons. Okay, and that's the thing. What's interesting here, you know, is that Eli did hear God speak, okay, and God speak through different mediums, all right, and perhaps, you know, God was speaking in his heart too, but Eli would not listen, okay, and that's something for us to think about. All right, and that seems to be one of the challenges of today. You know, are we in a place where we would listen to God? You know, where our hearts are tuned to God? As if you compare Eli with Hannah's response, you know, I mean, both of them in a difficult situation. Hannah was being taunted by her rival, okay, Elkanah's second wife. You know. And she went to God, okay, she turned to God and she asked God to address that situation, okay, and she encountered God, and the Bible does not tell us that, you know, Hannah heard an audible voice or saw a vision, you know, and yet she encountered God in such a powerful way that he took away her shame and brought joy into her heart. And the song tells that, you know, that she really understood the character of God. And what Jack was sharing last week, you know, we begin to realize that she understood the justice of God, the mercy of God, you know, that no matter how things are at present, God will overturn the fortunes of the wicked and God will, you know, reverse the fortunes of the blessed, okay? And so God is just and he will vindicate. So what's interesting here is, you know, this whole topic about speaking with God has a lot to do with understanding the character of God, all right? And where else, you know, Eli did not press in the whole idea that what he does, you know, what he represents is God's holiness. And the whole temple worship is holy before God. And what the whole priesthood must do is to represent God's goodness and justice to people. But in turn, things were opposite. You know, they represented themselves, you know, their vileness, their corruptness, their pride, their power. And they took advantage of, you know, the people's offerings, and they took advantage of the women serving at the tent of meeting. All right. You know, where else, you know, Hannah, who was not a priest, okay, when she encounters God, you know, she has a very clear understanding of the character of God. In spite of a situation, you know, in spite of still being childless, you know, she could understand the justice, the mercy, the greatness of God, you know, and the kind of king he was. Okay. And that's the thing that we have to be mindful of, you know, that what comes into play, you know, when we talk about hearing God, is we have to understand that when he speaks, you know, he speaks in context of his character. You know, he does not act out of character. He's consistent with who he is, okay, and what he's saying and what he's revealing. And therefore, you can see that his speech to Eli and his family in these passages were very constant. You know, he did not like what was happening, and he was trying to get Eli to address it, okay. On the same time, also you can see he's very consistent with Hannah, that when one looks to him and seeks him, you know, he will reveal himself to that person. All right. And that's what the Bible helps us understand. You know, if it helps us to discern and, you know, what is from God and what is not from God, simply because the scriptures teach us about the character of God. Okay. And when we experience God's character, you know, as we meditate on scriptures, we realize that God is constant. Okay. You know, he does not change. All right. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if what he says is in conflict with his character, then it's not from God. All right. And if we listen to him and not in context of his character, then we are listening the wrong way. Okay. So this is something that we have to think about. The second thing that takes place here is, you know, the first word that God gives to Samuel was a difficult word, okay? And, God spoke to Samuel about the judgment that will come upon the house of Eli, okay? And Eli was like a father figure to him, was his mentor, you know, and he was serving, you know, him. And now he had to tell him and about what God was going to do, okay? So the sad part is, you know, God had to resort to speaking to Samuel simply because Eli was not listening. Okay. Eli was not there, you know. And you find that even though both of them were in the same vicinity, you know, they were both there in the tent of meeting, you know, and Eli was sleeping closer to the ark, you know, but one's eyes were dim and one's heart was cold. And well, so God had to wake up Samuel, you know, and get Samuel to wake up Eli three times, you know, in order to get Eli to think about him, okay? All right? But unfortunately, in spite of God's efforts, you know, Eli was unwilling to take any action, okay? And that's something that, again, we must think about. You can see it's in the heart of God to go all out to deliver his message to us, you know, and he uses different people and different, he uses a word and he wants us to understand what he's saying to us. But, you know, people can harden their hearts. And you find that Hannah's response was totally different, okay? So when she heard God's word, you know, she received it in faith and the word did its work in her life, you know, and therefore she overflowed with joy, hope and victory. Okay. And she was moved to do something, you know, she dedicated her son to God because she honored God in such a way that it was right, you know, and fitting for her to give her firstborn son back to God. All right. And whereas Eli did nothing and he continued to participate in the sins of his son. So it's kind of interesting if you see the contrast. You know, here is, you know, Hannah who has no children. And when she has one, you know, she's willing to give it to God. Okay. She's willing to give what she desired most into the hands of God, knowing that's the best thing that she can do for her son. Okay. Who she wanted dearly and loves dearly. Where else? Eli, who had sons, okay, you know, and they were dedicated to God, did not consider that dedication as important, all right? He chose to honor his sons above God, okay, and he allowed his sons to continue in sin and continue to, you know, be part of what they were doing, okay, all right? And so, that's what has happened here. And therefore, you know, Jesus in the parable of the sower and the seed, he tells us, you know, yes, God speaks, but people can respond differently. Okay. You know, the seeds fell into four different grounds. The hard soil, the shallow soil, the thorny ground, and the good soil. Okay. And each, you know, had a different response. Okay. And only the good soil bore fruit. And Jesus, in telling the story, was confronting the people and asking them, you know, what would be your response? You know, how would you receive me? And the indicator of your reception is how you receive my word. Okay. And the same question applies to us. You know, God speaks to us, all right? And how we receive the word of God will dictate how we are able to hear God, okay? The more we receive the word that we read in the scriptures by faith, the more we read, you know, receive the word that has already been spoken into our lives by faith, okay? And we respond with faith, you know, it sets us up to receive more from God. But if our reception is not right, you know, we can close doors and God will keep knocking, you know, but our hearts will not listen, okay? You know, our hearts will suppress God's word. It's like Eli's story. So it's not that God would give up and so forth, you know, but it's a whole issue of not listening, okay? And we can understand, you know, I mean, we all can be very stubborn and stop listening and close our ears to something that we don't want to do or don't want to hear. Okay. The next thing about Eli's response, and let me read what's on the screen. Eli's response can be perceived as one of meekness and submission. Okay. This kind of meekness and submission is unwholesome. You know, God has appointed Eli to be his priest. Eli was given the responsibility and authority to act on God's behalf. Eli would bear much but refused to act. He was submissive but lacked the courage and resoluteness to fight for what is right. Okay. And so this is something that we've looked at a little on in the first chapter, you know. And you can see, you know, sometimes, you know, perhaps, you know, we can hide behind a wrong understanding of meekness and submission. Okay. So let's again contrast it with Hannah's life. You know, she knew that God had closed the womb, but she did not stay there. You know, she approached God. You know, she went before God and she struggled with God. All right. And you find that, you know, the people in the Bible, when they were facing a difficult situation, all right, they did not simply say, oh, this is the will of God and, you know, let things be done. You know, and even when God wanted to send judgment to a particular people, even like Abraham, when God wanted to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, he went before God and started to intercede. You know, if there's 40 righteous people, Lord, would you do that? Okay. And you find, you know, and you can see that in the life of Moses. And the thing is this, you know, people who know the character of God, you know they can approach God. They know they can stand before God, struggle with God, you know, in fact, you know, fight with God in the sense and rise up and face people with that same courage and tenacity, you know, to move things, to get things done, okay? And you find these were people of action. I mean, like even Daniel, you know, as much, once they have come before the Lord, then they get down, you know, and into doing the work, standing for what is right, okay? And so that's the thing, you know, I mean, each of us can be in a certain season in our life, in a certain situation, you know, facing a certain weakness. And we could be tempted to say, oh, yes, this is how it is, and this is nothing can change about it, you know. But let God do whatever he needs to do. But this is not going to help us, all right? You know, and this is not going to change anything. You know, God wants us to rise up, and we rise up because we know he is victorious, he is good. Okay, so God's word is alive and active. It is not dead and passive. You know, unwholesome passiveness does nothing to restrain evil. Instead, it restrains the word and work of God. That's the thing. Okay, so if we just allow this kind of passiveness to take hold of us, you know, we end up doing nothing. We should be discerning on what we need to do, but there's always a godly response as when we look to God, okay, and when we rest on God's character. Okay, and let me read that verse. You know, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so that's what the book of Hebrews is saying. You know, he knows the heart, all right, and we can't give excuses, okay, and the word of God penetrates us deep within, and it's alive and it's active, and it moves us to that place, and it calls for such a response, in the presence of God, because if we believe in God's word, if we take hold of it, we can see the power of God at work in our lives. And the final section, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's word fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. So the first thing, what we begin to see here, the picture is, this is the calling of Samuel. This is how he's initiated into the prophetic call, a difficult word he received concerning his mentor, but this is how he began to learn to listen to God and realize that God was with him and God speaks to him. Okay. And so the first thing, the first point that this final verses tell us is now that the Lord was with Samuel. Okay. The presence of God makes the difference in our lives. All right. Okay. And that's the fact, God is with all of us. Okay. The question is, are we with God? Are we in his presence? Do we understand that truth? Because the promise of his presence is given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is given to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord not only is with us, he lives in us. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. And God wants us to open our eyes, to be mindful of his presence. Okay, and that's when you realize that God is a living being. He speaks. He loves us. The proximity is close to us, he's within us, and he's done so much for us. And definitely, when we look to him, when we reach out to him, he will speak and he will direct our lives. Okay. The second point is, when Samuel listened and acted on God's word, God in turn did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Okay. All that Samuel spoke was fulfilled by God. So that's the power of God's word, and you find even Jesus, that's what he did. He said, I do and say whatever my Father asked me to say. And when we represent God and when we understand his word, and when we speak his word, for his glory, for his name, it is God who guarantees his word. It is God who fulfills his word. Okay. And when you honor God by right representation, he will honor his word. Okay, he will not honor himself, through those who misrepresent him. Okay, and the third thing, Samuel, the faithful prophet and priest, is compared and contrasted with Eli's sons. All of Israel knew the wicked action of Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli. But now all of Israel knew Samuel was a true prophet of the Lord. Okay, because the Lord fulfilled what he spoke through Samuel. Okay, and the presence of God was with Samuel. And because of this, the integrity of this one person and the willingness of this one person to come before God, okay, God's word returned to the people. And as long as Samuel remained the main prophet or priest, God continued to make himself known there. Okay, so we have quickly gone through, several points. And this is a huge subject and much to think about. But what I do want to encourage you and challenge you is this, there will come a time, okay, when you would want to hear God direct you and speak to you. Okay, even many of my conversations with each of you, you are looking for what to say, what to do in different circumstances. Okay, and as I look back, even my calling and even planting this church and even moving to this new premise, everything is led by God. God has spoken, God has directed, God has opened doors. And more than that, you find, when God's revealed his character, it is a joy to shape the church, in accordance to the character of God. Okay, to let his glory be made known, to let his word be proclaimed. And the amazing thing about this is, every time this is done, we see people being healed, people being set free, people being drawn into God's presence. Okay. Yes, there are some who won't listen, but still, people cannot deny, that God has spoken and his presence is made known to them. And so that's what, you know, we all must be mindful of. We shouldn't shy away from this topic, you know, simply because even if we reflect in our own lives, you know, this moment where God stepped in, or even his presence came into our rooms, into our lives, you know, when we were broken and hurting, or just when we were seeking God, it made a huge difference. So we cannot let fear, you know, dull us from this. What we need to do is we have to base this pursuit on the right things. And that is, you know, the word of God, the character of God, you know, and the right kind of obedience and submission to God. Okay. And we, yes, you know, mistakes will be made. You know, yes, sometimes we can go wrong, but that's why we have to approach this together as a church. So we are there, you know, to confirm the things of God and to seek the word of God to see where, or, you know, whether what is has been said to a person is truly from God. Okay. But it will be a great loss if we don't have this. Okay, and that's what we want. You know, I mean, Life Church has completed 9 years. We're going to our 10th year. And I think one thing all of us want to do is, you know, represent God and exist for the purpose he made us for. You know. And the only way, you know, one important aspect to be able to do this is to be able to hear from God, you know, as a community, you know, as leaders, as individuals, you know, as representatives of God, you know, because we do believe God will speak, God will guide, you know, God will meet us, you know, God will deliver us. Amen. So let's look at the prayer items. Okay. So the first prayer items is listening to God. You know, we allow God to speak to us. We train ourselves to discern the voice of God by meditating and obeying the scriptures. We are praying for these items. As a church, we learn to discern God's voice so that we will be faithful and true to our calling, and we will remain in the presence of God. Okay. And then the second section, Shanti will lead us in prayer for all these items. Okay. So again, I would want to encourage you. All right. You know. To pray, okay. Just take any of these items and just pray and trust God. All right, you know, let us come before God in faith, you know, believing as we pray, God would speak to us, you know, and God would speak into the situation. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that you've always led your people. We want to thank you for the fact, dear Lord, that you are a living personal God, dear God. And you're a God who's not silent, dear. And your words are active and alive, dear Lord. And you fulfill every word that you speak. Dear Lord, we do confess that our lives will be so much more richer, more focused, dear Lord, if we learn to discern your guidance, your voice in our life. Dear Lord, that we can come before you interceding, asking, dear Lord, to reveal your presence, your purpose, dear Lord, in every aspect of our lives. So God, we pray that we will slow down our lives to allow you to speak to us, that we will pick up the Bible, and as we read it, we will allow you to speak to us, dear Lord. And as we come to church, as we listen to the sermons, as we converse with other people, dear Lord, as we worship you, we would allow you to speak to us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, that our hearts be open to dreams and visions, or still small voice,
knowing that you are a God who speaks. Dear Lord, some of us need direction. Some of us need a word of comfort. Some of us need a word that will move us into action, dear Lord. A word that will pick us up, dear Lord. Some of us, Lord, need some details, dear Lord, Father, on the things that you have spoken to us before, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we pray that we will not rush into anything, but our hearts will be open to you, allowing you to speak to us, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, we will take this seriously and by honoring your spoken word, dear Lord, your written word. You have said, dear Lord, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth, dear God. And your word is alive, dear Lord. It is powerful. And as we read the scriptures, dear Lord, let us read by faith. Let us read with intention, Lord, to submit and obey, dear God. To allow you, Lord, to direct our lives. Let us read it, Lord, so that with a great desire to know you, dear Lord, to know you more and more each day, because you are so beautiful and you are so loving, dear God. Open our eyes, dear Lord. We also pray, dear Lord, Father, that you would move us, Lord, as a body to discern your voice, that you'll pour out the prophetic gifts, the discerning gifts, dear Lord, the word of knowledge gifts, Lord, Father, upon the church, that we will learn how to pray as one body and hear your voice, that we will be together, dear Lord, in oneness. Dear Lord, as you said, when two or three come together, you will be present. The early church always sought your presence, dear Lord, and they received great power and direction and strength and courage from you, dear Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that we will come, Lord, as a body, longing, Lord, to hear your voice. Every Wednesday, every Sunday, dear Lord. Every other small meeting, dear Lord, that we come before you in the youth programs, in the Sunday school programs, in the Life Explorers, or Redeeming Roses, dear Lord, all those meetings, dear Lord, let us come, Lord, with expectation to hear you speak. Dear Lord, because we acknowledge, Lord, that you are a loving God, and because you care for us, your presence is with us. And every day, dear Lord, every Sunday, every act of worship, every moment, Lord, is so much more beautiful, Lord, when we acknowledge your presence, dear Lord, when we are strengthened by your presence. Your presence, Lord, reminds us that we are not alone, but we are loved. And that we are your children, dear God. When your presence reminds us of our identity, dear Lord, that we belong to you, that we have been cleansed by your blood, dear Lord, and empowered by your Spirit to live life that is a life that is wholly given to you, Lord, for your holy purpose. Oh Lord, let your presence be known to us, dear God. For you are God, Emmanuel, the God who dwells with us. Speak to us, dear Lord. Guide this church and lead us, Lord, in your love and grace. We thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for your presence. We want to lift up this country into your hands, dear Lord, Father. And just pray for the churches in Malaysia that we will rise in love and unity, oneness of heart, dear God.
and hear your voice and do your work, Lord Father. Continue to speak and direct your church, Lord Father, that we may represent you faithfully as your people, dear Lord. And no matter where, Lord, your church is, Lord Father, in the cities and the villages, Lord, encourage, Lord, the leadership. Let them lift their eyes, Lord, to you with hope, with joy, believing, Lord, that you are greater than any challenge in any circumstance, dear Lord. You are a God who provides, a God who blesses. Dear Lord, we also pray for the coming elections in Sabah, that we pray, Lord Father, that your hand will guide, that your hand will bring peace and integrity in this nation. We just pray for godly leadership. But we pray, Lord Father, that you still hearts people to seek such things, dear Lord, and that there will be peace in this nation, and that there will be doors open, dear Lord Father, for the gospel to be preached, dear God. We also continue to pray about this pandemic. We just pray for a cure. We pray, Lord Father, for healing. We pray, Lord Father, for deliverance, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we know, Lord, that you are a mighty God and you have chosen to allow this, and you work, Lord, for your glory, for your purpose. And we rest in you, Lord Father, in all circumstances. We pray, Lord Father, that your will be done, Lord, in all this, Lord Father, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up, that he will be glorified. In this moment, Lord Father, that people will be still and know that you are God. So, Lord Father, we just commit all this into your loving hands, Lord Father. We want to thank you that we are able to gather before you. We want to thank you for your blessing. We want to thank you for the technology available to us, dear Lord. We pray for David, dear God, and we just pray that even as he goes back to Singapore to work this Friday, that you will be with him, that you will be with his family, dear Lord, as he's about to stay there for a few months, that you will guide and you bless him and listen to children, dear Lord, Father, and that you would lead them in your grace and your wisdom, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we are all here in your name, and bless every person, Lord, Father. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.